Hello and welcome to the Veterans Career Compass,
where we meet with employers,
veterans,
military spouses,
and those in the community
to share their stories.
I'm Rich Comets.
And I'm Jana Toner, and we're with American Corporate Partners,
the veteran mentorship program for meaningful employment.
We'll be talking about employment
and learning opportunities,
stories of growth and success,
and tactics to make your transition into the corporate world a little easier.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is our first ACP webinar after the new year that's live. So thank you all for attending. Today, we're talking with Moody's. Moody's is a worldwide risk assessment company that helps organizations make informed decisions. Their data, analytical tools, and insight assist decision makers in spotting opportunities and navigating business risks. Moody's has a team of over 14,000 employees across 40 countries. And so I want to remind everybody that this webinar is going to remain on our LinkedIn. And so you can watch it again or invite friends to watch. Also, if you have any questions, please drop them in the chat and we'll get to them a little bit later in the broadcast. So now I want to quickly introduce our panelists. We have three J's, it seems, from Moody's. We have Jason, James, and Jonathan, all former service, and we have a pretty good representation. Jason is from the Army, James from the Marines, and Jonathan from the Navy. So we have almost all the services represented here today. I think it's going to be a great discussion. But first, Jonathan, can you help me understand exactly what Moody's does for someone that's just leaving the military and doesn't know all the corporate language? Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about what does Moody's do?
Did you say John or Jason? I think you meant Jason, right?
Oh, yeah, I did say it. I meant Jason. You know what I said, but I meant Jason.
No problem. Well, first, I just want to lead off with go Army, beat Navy.
There we go.
I got to be careful about that because we got James there. Now, I want to start off by saying, okay, you see that Lieutenant Colonel retired in front of my name there. Be careful, you know, who you talk to on the way up, because one day somebody like James might just be your boss, right? So I'm a retired 05. John's a retired 06. And James, I believe, was an
E4? E5. Sergeant.
E5. Yeah. Okay. So he outranks all of us now, right? So you got to be careful when you're transitioning from military to the corporate world, because the private that used to work for you might be your boss now. Okay. So
good point.
So I've got a little blurb here about Moody's, and I'm still trying to learn this, but I think it captures what we do perfectly. So I don't want to mess it up. So just bear with me. If I sound monotone or uninteresting, just bear with me. So Moody's is a global integrated risk assessment firm that empowers organizations to make better, faster decisions. Moody's data, analytical solutions, and insights help them identify opportunities and manage the risk of doing business with others. In doing that, we have several great crown jewel businesses. Anchoring those businesses is Moody's Investor Service, MIS. That's the global agency of choice for issuers and investors. And Moody's Analytics, MA, that includes a premier subscription-based fixed income and economics research business, which is a data business powered by an extensive global database on companies and credit and three cloud-based software as a service businesses serving banking, insurance, and know your customer workflows. So our people across MIS and MA, with the partnership and support of Moody Shared Services, which is where myself, John, and James work, we come together to help our customers, from banks, insurers, and corporate to public sector entities, do one of three things. One, we help them either start a relationship or an exposure, issue, originate, select assets, or underwrite. Number two, during the life of that relationship they started, we help them identify, measure, monitor, and manage risk. And number three, we help them verify, comply, plan, and report. So to do all of this, we leverage what we call our risk operating system. It's a vast set of proprietary data analytics and domain expertise across a range of areas, including credit, companies, properties, securities, people, economies, ESG, climate, and it goes on. So we weave all this through our solutions, and that's what makes our customer value proposition so sticky and differentiated.
So sounds like a lot of IT, cyber, data analytics. Am I right?
Lots.
Are there any other job functions that don't fit in those kind of domains?
Yeah, I think we have a lot. If you want to do something in IT or outside of IT, I think financial services is a great sector to look at. And Moody's is just one of many companies that has multiple roles. Maybe James or John, y'all want to talk about any of the other roles that you've seen here at Moody's that, you don't have to have a background in IT to get a job in IT, is what I'm saying. Is like there's a lot of roles out there, logistics, life cycle management of equipment. There's all kind of things.
Yeah, I would just add to it, we'll come back to technology because all of us are technologists, so we'll probably spend a lot of time talking about it. But within Moody's, there's a lot of financial analyst sort of roles, and I say that very broadly, but they're really dealing with analytics of the economy and of certain industries, right? So dealing with credit and macroeconomic numbers, there's a whole group of financial analysts that do that on a day-to-day basis. And that's part of the business team that really does the core of at least MIS's business, which is doing ratings for companies. And then our other business unit, MA, that he mentioned, Moody's Analytics, they have a lot of specialists, right? And specific, Jason mentioned a couple around ESG or climate change or insurance companies, or you name the vertical or the industry. We have a lot of specialists that understand those verticals, those industries, why those are important and why banks and other investment firms would be interested in getting more data about them. So that's where it comes back to the whole risk analytics and risk platform. So we'll come back now, I think, to the tech questions, Rich, because that starts to get at least out of my expertise when we start talking about some of the business capabilities. All of us are in the tech field, although I'm in Moody's Investor Services, which is one of our lines of businesses.
All right. So let's back up now and actually hear about who you guys are and what you do at Moody's and about your military background. So, John, since you haven't spoke yet, maybe the newest of the crew, I think, freshly transitioned. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do at Moody's, and what you did in the military.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Rich. So I joined Moody's back in September when I came on board as a full-time employee. As a precursor, I was in the Navy, 26 years, served in the information professional community. Just to get folks an understanding of that, that would be equivalent to signals in the Army. Or even the IT side of things as far as Air Force. With my job, it ranged everywhere from RF communications, satellite communications, data center migrations, and there was even a point where I flew satellites. So I had the opportunity to see the vast range as far as on the IT side of things, to include even getting in the weeds as far as dealing with the networks, with the infrastructure, pulling out those servers, looking at the PDUs, making sure the fiber optics. I mean, there was a time where I was actually polishing the fiber. So I had the fortunate opportunity to, get that experience and take on special projects. And that's sort of what led me in a direction as far as on the project management side of thing, and even on the technical aspect. When you start talking cybersecurity, I was able to achieve any CISSP certification while in the Navy, along with some other network type certifications. So I think where that helped, it helped me be the person to not just work in the weeds, but able to translate at least to the executive leadership, as far as what's the so what or the bottom line up front on how things work. Fast forwarding, I had the opportunity to do a fellowship program, a 12-week program. And I will say the gentleman you see here is the reason why I'm here today. My first contact was with Jason Hillman. And then, you know, we can talk about that a little later, but he was truly a sponsor with the fellowship I went through. And when I use the term sponsor, a lot of people think, you know, this is the person that shows you the ropes and what have you. But a sponsor to me is someone who's an advocate for you, someone who can, you know, not only show you the ropes, but be a voice for you. And that's one of the things that Jason did during my fellowship. You know, we met on a weekly basis. He always did what I call, as far as Navy term, a rudder check to make sure things were, you know, going well. And, you know, I could go on for about an hour, and I'm sure there's going to be some questions as far as how my fellowship went. But what I can appreciate with Moody's is the culture. And that's what sort of hooked me to the opportunities. And what I do at Moody's now, I work with infrastructure. And like Jason and James mentioned earlier, we're under the Moody's Shared Service business unit. I sort of look at least at my perspective, we're sort of like the six code. If you know, I know we have some military out there, you know, the N6, the J6, what have you. But we provide the resources or the backbone as far as the network connectivity for the other two pillars of Moody Analytics and also Moody's Investment Services. And so I have the opportunity to work with, as far as right now, with data center migrations and consolidation. So it's really an exciting opportunity for me. Sometimes I have to sort of pinch myself that I get to go through this experience. But that's pretty much a quick and dirty about myself.
All right. Thanks, John. All right, Jason, tell us where you started.
Yeah, where I started. So I guess for me, I'm a passionate kind of guy, if you haven't got that already. So everything to me has got a story wrapped around it. So I joined the military mainly because my dad was in the service. He was Army 3 years. And I grew up listening to bedtime stories, which were his Army stories. Right. So I joined right after high school. I enlisted, went to Germany. Then I got applied. I got accepted to West Point, went to West Point, graduated with a degree in systems engineering. And for the majority of my career in the Army, I did the same thing that John did. We just used a little bit different terminology. But it was all about information, getting information from point A to point B. And I did everything from radio to telecommunications, radios, HF, everything from the foxhole to the White House. That's kind of my background. Then around, I guess, 2018, 2017, I got my master's degree in cybersecurity. The first job I got as an officer, I was the information assurance manager for Southwest Asia for the Army. I was a brand new lieutenant, right? Second lieutenant, butter bar, didn't know nothing. I showed up at the first job and my boss, she was a major then, Karen Rose, she says, so Jason, tell me what you know about information assurance. And I said, well, I know it's got an I and an A in it. You know, that's where it starts with. I had no idea. But that kind of put me down the road to what I would eventually do before I got out of the Army. And that was cybersecurity, right? So I've got a background in cybersecurity. I ended my career at West Point. They brought me back there after I got my master's degree in cybersecurity to be a research scientist at the Army Cyber Institute. So we did some deep dives into critical infrastructure resiliency. And I can talk about that all day, but I won't bore you with it. But anyway, I kind of ended my career there teaching at West Point, studying critical infrastructure. And then I probably would have stayed in, but my dad got sick. He had some medical issues or whatnot, and I wanted to spend the remainder of his life close to him. And so at the time, this was right whenever COVID hit, and everything shut down, right? All the jobs became remote, or a lot of them did. So I saw a study from LinkedIn that said before the pandemic, 1 in 60 jobs were remote, fully remote. And then after the pandemic, 1 in 9 jobs were fully remote. And I said, this might be the perfect opportunity for me to go home to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where, you know, we don't have a whole lot of Fortune 500 companies in a place like Hattiesburg, Mississippi. But working remotely was an opportunity for me. So my wife and I, we made the decision. We retired before I even had my final out. I had the job offer from Moody's, and I've been here ever since. So I retired in, July of 22. And before then, I started transition leave. So I think I've been with Moody's since May of 22. So that's kind of my background and how I got to where I'm at.
Nice. All right, James, let's hear it.
Yeah, I'll keep mine short. I was in the Marine Corps for 5 years. Went right out of high school, did communications. That's where I learned about, similar to John, networking and servers, any sort of communication. Loved my time in the Corps. I got out and immediately started working in the financial services industry because I had a background in networking specifically. And my whole career has been in financial services. I've been with Moody's for 4 years. I run a very large team called Platform Engineering. It consists of software developers, project managers, technology delivery managers, cloud engineers with various cloud platforms, DevOps folks. So we have quite the gamut of profiles of tech jobs. So we can definitely dig into some of the details on those, Rich.
Yeah. So James, you strike me as one of the more interesting stories in that you were enlisted for a few years, got out, and used some of what you learned in the military and you know, have been able to, once you got out, then make your own path. So can you talk a little bit about, did you have to get additional training, or was what you had in the military was enough to get you started, or how did that go?
No, it's a good question. I did. So I did go to school as well. I went to school at night while I was in the Marine Corps, while I was enlisted. So I had my 2-year degree by the time I got out. And then it took me another 10 years, I think, to finish my 4-year degree after that, going to school, just because after I got out, I got married and had kids. And most of us know how that game goes, right? But I did have a few certifications, a few industry certifications. My first job out of the Marines was actually working for a former Marine as well. So, I'll say it, and this is a great example. Networking is everything. You know, use the veterans community, use the programs that are at your disposal. It's amazing how they'll get you in the door, you know, and someone, you know, I've done this for 25 years now. I can tell you, when we're hiring veterans, we're not expecting them to have the full resume of a corporate professional, right? We're not expecting them to use the same terminology. We're not expecting them to have the same experiences, but we're leveraging their strengths for the roles that we have available, right? And that's what happened to me, right? Right out of the Marine Corps, I was hired for some of the skills that I had in the Marines, but it was also more about the mentality, the approach to problem solving, the teamwork. Those are the things that we're looking for. That makes any veteran's resume always, it's gonna see the hiring manager's screen, right? They're gonna take a look at it. Their eyes are gonna look at it. It just because there's something that's not on the resume that we all acknowledge. Even my coworkers, my peers that weren't in the military, they have a special interest in hiring military just because of the behavioral traits that they have learned through their career.
Oh, that's great to hear. And John, since you're kind of the freshest out of the military, can you talk about some of those areas that you highlighted that you feel like helped you land a job at Moody's?
Yeah, definitely. So the program I went through at the time was Hiring Our Heroes. Again, it was a 12-week program. Excuse me, a 12-week program. With that, I was able to work with Jason as far as basically the shaping and getting an understanding of what Moody's was looking for. Now, I will say with that particular program, I did have to, of course, go through an interview process. It was about maybe 5 different interviews that I went through, starting with Jason and HR, and then working my way up over to the C-suite. And for my area, they were, it was a little different. I was one of the first people, and I think still the first, who to come through Moody's through Hiring Our Heroes. And so they wanted to get an understanding of my background and what my strengths were. And so through the interview process, it sort of ranged everywhere from what I did with the data center migrations to some of my experience dealing directly with network infrastructure. And then, of course, moving on to project management, looking at different methodologies, whether it's agile or waterfall or what have you. And so saying that, that's when I got the phone call from Jason in HR saying, hey, Moody's is highly interested in you. Would you be interested in doing a fellowship with us? And, you know, for me, I sort of had to understand who Moody's was. I listened to a lot of NPR. And, you know, every time you hear something happen in a, you know, a certain country or a bank loses its rating or something like that, you always hear Moody's at the end, right? So I was sort of familiar and knowing how that was a big deal, being in that phone call for Moody's. And so, of course, Roger up to Jason and said, yeah, I'm highly interested. I spoke earlier about the culture. And what impressed me, as soon as I, you know, said yes, I get a knock on my door the next day, special delivery. It's a Moody's laptop, corporate laptop. And so everything was set up. I was able to log in, go through the different resources. They gave me a personal contact to work through out of New York, and I was off to the races. The following week, I was in Manhattan. I was actually stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. I was a deputy CIO. I was again, a Navy captain. Working that program, but I was allowed to do the 12 weeks for the fellowship. And so when I basically received a request to go to Manhattan to the corporate office over in the World Trade Center, basically flew directly there and was able to meet with the leadership there through all the managing directors. And for me, what I always look for, crisis opportunity, what kept the managing directors. And so that's sort of what shaped my experience at Moody's. I sort of turned that into sort of like a capstone. And based on that particular thing, that the common thing that kept everyone up at Moody's, that's what I worked on for the 12 weeks as my capstone and went from there. But I can tell you, I learned from that, not every company is the same. I can't tell you another company will be like Moody's and have that type of support or that type of culture and those resources really available to throw at you. So that's sort of my experience dealing with my fellowship with Moody's.
That's great. Maybe, Jason, maybe we can embarrass John a little bit and tell, or maybe it's a good thing, an embarrassment, but what stood out about John, you know, particularly that you were, you know, bring him on the team?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Rich. So whenever we got the list of Hiring Our Hero corporate fellowship candidates, we had to screen them. And so the criteria that we used was what the chief technology officer, our previous one, had given to us, right? And basically he said, bring us the good talent. He's like, we'll make a role for them. We just want the best talent. And I'm like, that's pretty clear guidance. You know, we can bring that. We can find them and we can bring them to you. And we said, well, what is there any other criteria that you're looking for? And so the chief technology officer, the CTO, Josh Carroll at the time, he said, yeah, they need to be willing to relocate to Charlotte because he was building a hub there. And I said, okay, so looking for talent and being willing to relocate. And through the Hiring Our Heroes corporate fellowship program, the information that those candidates filled in, there was a question. It asked whether or not they were willing to relocate, and if yes, where to. So that's kind of how we narrowed down the list originally. Then we looked at other factors. So education, you know, what differentiated, did they have a master's degree? That, you know, it set them apart from their peers. Of course, John did. We looked at certifications. John had CISSP and PMP, which I do as well. So all the little things helped us keep narrowing that down to we identified the top three candidates that we wanted to bring back to our chief technology officer and say, hey, of the 1,000 plus on this list, here's the three that we think are Moody's material. And so there was a board that met. They interviewed all three of them. And in the end, we ended up going with John because he was the best of the three. So it's a little bit competitive, but knowing how that works, hopefully that helps somebody listening to this call.
Yeah. So now I'm kind of interested in what you guys would give as advice to someone out there that might not have the resume that maybe John has or had, right? But you know, maybe James, what would you say to someone that maybe they're driving a tank, right, or something like that? They don't have necessarily the actual work in the military in the IT area, but they want to get into IT. So what would you tell someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, I the easiest way, honestly, is to start with certifications, right? And I know that's a very broad field all of itself, right? There's a certain, you know, there's several different areas within tech that you can go, but you've got to get started with those because those at least show that you have the interest. It also lets you know, like, whether you're interested in project management or data or software development or, you know, some other sort of, you know, security, whatever field that is. Certifications are the easiest way, even if you're not, you know, even if you haven't completed it. You know, if you're in progress with it, start there, right? There's a lot of learning opportunities online where you can do, you know, like pre-learning before you even have to pay for the certification to see, first of all, do I really like it, right? Because sometimes you don't know until you get halfway into it. But at least do the free learning while you can, start the certification process, and then put that on your resume and be very clear. Hey, I'm in the process of doing this. You know, I'm transitioning from the military. I've got a full-time family. You know, whatever that is, right? There's reasons, but it shows the initiative that you're starting in a field, you're interested, you want to learn more, and you acknowledge that you're at a beginning level, right? Start there. It's the easiest versus making the commitment to go enroll in a college and for a full-time degree, or you know, et cetera. But you know, if you have enrolled or you're going part-time, put that stuff on there, put your field. The other thing I would mention, just going back to kind of getting started, is the recruiters that work for these big companies, they're in an HR department. They know of a lot of the programs like John, like you mentioned, the Hiring Our Heroes or other veterans programs that company supports. If you don't have a good knowledge of the company, but you're interested in it, or if you don't know anyone there, start with the recruiters. Go on their website, go to their HR team, like at Moody's, for example, and just email them, hey, what sort of veterans programs for hiring do you support, right? Some of them are internships, some are for hires directly out of the military. But those recruiters are usually very good about getting back to you to just get started with that program, right? So I would say it's kind of a twofold thing. One is you've got to pick some sort of field where you're interested and start, whether it's school, certifications, et cetera. And then you got to do the legwork of reaching out to these companies if you don't know anyone that works there. And start, I mean, use the veterans programs that are at all these large companies. All the large corporations have these veterans programs versus you just going to their website and just applying off the street, right? It's a lot different if you're doing it through the vehicle of a veteran-supported program by their HR organization versus you filling out 10,000 job opportunities online, because we've all been there and that's not fun.
Yeah, I think I've seen statistics of like, it's like 85% of the people that are get jobs have some sort of connection, right? And it doesn't have to be anything direct, like it's your brother or something, but just those things like you mentioned, reaching out to someone in the talent acquisition or in the military space that might, just asking for advice, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're doing things? So yeah, I think that's a great, great piece of advice.
I could add to that, I'd like to say just that American Corporate Partners is a great resource. If, you know, I'm assuming that the majority of our audience are already signed up, but it's a great resource to show you, you know, that behind the curtain, you know, how do interviews work? Because to be honest, I had never interviewed before I did for, you know, whenever I was getting ready to transition. In the officer world in the Army, you know, you might get pulled in by name request, people that know you. That's kind of how I got my positions. But if it's not that, it's HRC, you know, Human Resources Command, putting faces to places. You know, I never interviewed. I think that's changed now, but those are skills. Interview skills are something that I would say invest in, like spend a lot of time on. Because one, if you can find a mentor that can help you, one, let you give you a better understanding about the job you're interested in, it's going to set you up better for the interview later down the road. The other thing I'll say real quick is that it's not an all or nothing. You don't have to transition from military and think that you've got to have your perfect role. Like I'm thankful that I did. I feel like I fell into a place where that I want to be, you know, I want to work and stay. But there's also the opportunity to just maybe go to school, you know, focus on your school, get that degree out of the way, get the certifications out of the way, and then take time to think about it, reflect on what it is you really want to do, because the jobs are out there, but it's another question is if you're going to be happy in that job. And if you're not, you're not doing yourself any favors, and you're not doing the company that you're working for any favors.
Yeah, I think John mentioned it a few times. He used the word culture, and I usually ask people, you know, about the culture, because I think that's something that people don't think about right away when they're looking for new jobs. They're kind of focused on, you know, the money or the title or whatever else, and they forget about things like culture. So what other things about the culture would you mention that you think is unique for Moody's compared to maybe some other companies, or you don't have to compare it to other companies, but at least highlight that you think is special about Moody's? We'll go right around, but John, you mentioned some, so can you just summarize some of your key points?
I think what really impressed me, at least from my perspective, Moody's is a pretty flat organization. I say that because when I started my fellowship, you know, who would have thought as soon as I arrived, I would be speaking with the CTO, and not just on one occasion, but on a weekly basis, because he had a true concern and interest, you know, making sure, you know, I got everything I needed in order to support the mission. You know, I talked earlier as far as with basically, dealing with the crisis and using it as an opportunity. By Moody's providing me the resources that I need, I was able to do research on the portfolio of TSG and work through it. Saying that, by talking to the managing directors weekly along with the CTO, it gave me an understanding of what needed to be done to succeed. And so with that particular project they assigned me, where they had challenges in the past, I was able pretty much to get the project completed towards about right at the end of my 12-week fellowship, to the point where basically a few things had to be signed and all that. And by the time I came back as a full-time employee, the project was completed. And so for something like that, I don't think it would have been possible if it wasn't for you know, the support, the resources being provided from the executive leadership. Because, you know, I've always told my leadership, whether in the military or even now in the private sector, if you give me the resources, I'll do my best to make magic happen. And that's one thing I can appreciate with Moody's compared to some of the other companies I interviewed with and, you know, sort of had those conversations.
And James, what do you like about the culture there?
I would say it boils down to the same reason many of you, including myself and John and Jason, were in the military for as long as you were, which is the sense of brotherhood. You know, I've worked for financial companies my whole career, most of the big banks, and more so than anywhere I've ever worked, I have felt that I'm in the foxhole with those around me. You know, there's a sense, no matter what team it is, you know, whether it's my team or a team across the business unit, we're in it together. You know, sometimes things get caught up, but you know, the people that you're with means everything. You know, you can approach problems together. Even if you disagree, you know that you're still working towards the same common goal. That doesn't happen in most corporate environments. And Moody's is a great example of where at any point in time, I can reach out to someone and I know that they'll be available to help. You know, I know that they'll be willing and interested in helping. It's not about just their goals. It's also about how they can help me and vice versa. And that's a huge thing in a corporate environment. And I would encourage you when you are interviewing, whether it's at Moody's or anywhere else, to ask those sorts of questions. Or, you know, ask, you know, when we say culture, culture is very vague, but get into the details about it, you know, and see how that relates to your experience in the military, because that's probably, I'm just assuming, the same reason that most of you stayed in, because you just felt this sense of brotherhood. And it's a really good feeling, especially to build your career around.
Well, that's great. I just want to remind anybody, if they have any questions, drop them in the chat. Jason, do you have anything to add to the about the culture?
Yeah, a couple of things. So one of my favorite things about Moody's culture is the business resource groups that are within Moody's. So the Veterans Business Resources Group is one that John and I and James are all members of. In fact, James is the executive sponsor for it. So we meet together at least once a month. The steering committee for that BRG does, and we talk about things that it's all about: supporting military families, supporting veterans at Moody's, events, and you know, things like that. And what surprised me is that whenever I joined it, I thought it would just be veterans, right? Veterans like me, James and John there, but it's not just veterans. In fact, I'd say the majority of it are Moody's employees who just want to support veterans. Like, they might have a brother or a son or a daughter or a, you know, whoever serving in the military, and they just have a heart for supporting veterans. And that, to me, like, I'd been in the military and I'd been in family readiness groups, and like, but it was all people who were in the military, you know, they had direct ties to it. So the business resource groups at Moody's, it's not just veterans. It's there's other resources, other resource groups there as well. There's a resource group on neurodiversity, which is a very interesting topic to me. And Moody's does a awesome job at helping people that think differently. Like, I don't mind sharing it, but I have ADHD, right? I also have some other things that, after 24 years in the military and 4 deployments and, you know, countless experiences that may or may not have been, you know, helpful or, you know, up in my head, they have support groups for that, right? They value the way that a person with organizational skills and ADHD can support a project rather than, you know, it's anyway, I don't really know how to put that into words yet, because I'm still living it and wrapping my mind around it, but it's a beautiful thing. It really is. The other thing I like about Moody's is just the global reach of it. Like, I love that we have 60 offices worldwide. And the reason I know that is because I helped with a network access control project where we installed equipment that supported each and every one of those offices. And so you have all these people from all over the world who are different and smart, and they're bringing in different perspectives to, you know, the problems that we need to solve. And I love that about the military, and I love that I still get to do that at Moody's. You know, I've worked with quite a few people from India. I had never had that experience in the Army before. I worked with joint forces and I worked with coalition forces, but never with people from India. And so I'm learning a lot about India and about their culture, like Diwali. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but right around Christmas time, like, Moody's had this big virtual party, basically, where, like, you could join on, and, you know, they were celebrating Diwali, and I had no idea what Diwali was about. And so I got to learn about that, you know, virtually, remotely, and it was a wonderful thing. So I'm probably rambling. I'll stop there.
No, that's great. So I want to get to the point now where it seems like, you know, to me, Moody's seems like a great place for people to seek employment. So if someone was looking to get a job, particularly at Moody's, but if you want to be even general, you know, what would you, if you're, say, maybe a year out or 6 or 8 months out, what would you say is some of the things they should start doing now in order to get themselves ready to maybe take on a job at Moody's or get ready for any job. I'll go with John. I'll go with you first.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Rich. So I would first say the sooner the better, or earlier the better. In regards, James mentioned it earlier, certifications. One reason why certifications really sort of make a difference, it gives everyone the same common language. And what I mean by that, I mentioned earlier as far as agile and waterfall methodology and all that. By you transitioning from the military and going to the private sector, the certifications help you maintain the same type of lexicon. So it's not that much of a learning curve in a sense when you go into this new environment. Like I said, I had the fortunate opportunity to sort of learn those things as I was going through the Navy, because I did a lot of work with the private sector, educational institutions, along with some agencies. And one thing I realized was that's where the certifications help. Same thing with CISSP. Even though I was talking to the civilian, there were certain terms used in cybersecurity that went across the board. So I would definitely say, work through those, especially if I would probably honestly say, start with PMP. Especially in the IT field, because at the end of the day, we're basically moving from one project to another. And then the other thing I would add is your resume. There's a lot of programs for veterans where you can have your resume vetted through professionals. I know Hiring Our Heroes had it. I'm sure ACP has it with the mentorship program where the mentors can chop your resume. The USO has a program you can go through. There's a number of programs you can go through to have folks look at your resume. You don't necessarily have to initially shell out, thousands of, hundreds of dollars to have your resume reviewed. But, and then the other thing to keep in mind when you're doing the resume, and, some folks may have someone else do that, but at the end of the day, the resume is just to get your foot in the door. You still have to do the interview. I said earlier, as far as with Hiring Our Heroes and the work Jason Hillman has done, being my sponsor, being my advocate, at the end of the day, I still had to do the interview, right, and be prepared to ask certain questions. And again, there's programs through USO where they can sort of walk you through that and prepare you for that. And I think that's maybe where a mentorship might help also give you an idea of what to expect. I think my experience might have been a little different because it was sort of Jason said earlier, they were trying to figure out as far as how to shape the vision and all that. So it was sort of a ray of a questioning. So I won't focus on, oh my God, here a Navy captain, he has all this, I got to worry about. No, it's case by case in a sense. But as far as those things, I think that's where a lot of focus should go as far as if you're, that when you're out and what have you.
You're on mute, Rich.
I just saw it. Thanks, John. We did have a question that just came in. I wanted to give us a chance to quickly bring it up. It's quite wordy, but basically, this gentleman has been working in different things in the military, but his research shows that risk management, compliance, and TPM are good targets for someone that basically want to enter the tech world that don't have much of a tech background. Anybody have any comments on that?
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm going to answer this a little bit larger, if that's okay, Rich.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Totally, this is James' opinion, so take it to the bank. Within the tech field, I would say that there was another question on this, so I thought I would add it. The hottest fields in my mind that aren't going anywhere are security, cloud, and I would say data, those three. And those are very broad, admittedly, but those are very, I'd say, technical fields that aren't going anywhere. They all have certifications that will help you get started in them. But admittedly, they're technical roles, right? It's a little bit harder to get started in that if you haven't had any tech background at all. If you're in the military and you have some sort of technical background, whether it's in comm or systems or engines, it's probably a little bit easier to get into those sort of fields. If you haven't had any sort of tech background, but you're looking to get started in a corporate environment, my personal opinion is really probably two or three areas, which is number one, without a doubt, and John hit it, project management. And when he said PMP is a project management certification, for folks that want to get started. And that's useful for tech fields as well as non-tech fields. I won't say it's easy, but it's probably one of the easiest ones to get started because there are different levels that you can get started on based upon your background. You can come in and be a project coordinator, which means you come in and you schedule meetings, you get people into the meeting, you may take notes, you know, you work out conflicts and things like that, all the way up through program managers, which run these large multi-million dollar projects and stuff. There's different levels. I think it's a good field for most non-tech folks that have been in the military to get started. The other one would be like some sort of business analyst role or financial analyst role, which are, you can look them up online. Just look at BA or FA, financial analyst or business analyst. They are normally roles that deal with process, right? And one thing we're all good at in the military is understanding process really, really well. And you don't deviate from process. So those BAs, a lot of their roles is to document process, to look for ways to make that process more efficient, how to work with the business to understand their own process. You know, and that probably sounds funny, but a lot of business process isn't well documented, right? We have SOPs in the military that document everything, but in the corporate world, a lot of it is common and tribal knowledge that was never written down in a standard procedure. So there's a lot of initiatives around that. I would look into that BA. So BA and project management, I think, are the easiest two fields that have some sort of certifications that, with your military background and a little bit of work, you can get your resume in front of people. And then worry about the interview stuff later. I agree with John. It's definitely a major step, but you got to get your resume so that it looks reasonable for a recruiter who wants to help you already, because everyone loves military vets, to say, oh, you know what, this may be borderline, but it's just good enough. I'm going to go ahead and give it to the hiring manager. They may have a very junior level role that they could open for them. You know, that would be my background.
All right. And so, James, continue on. Any advice for younger you? You know, 20 years ago when you were separating.
Man,
what you wish you would have known?
We all come from a background of teamwork. I definitely did not realize that my background in teamwork was going to be such a asset for my career growth. Right, I'm a managing director today. I would like to think that the reason that I'm here is that I deal really well with teams. And every single one of you, you know, maybe with few exceptions, have really good background of teamwork, of working together, and taking initiative. You know, I think those things are what got me here. I think my personal lesson learned being the Marine that I am was to don't be hard-headed. You don't know everything. You can't treat everyone like they're your subordinate and they're a private who just came in the military. I learned very quickly early on that everyone has value. You know, Jason said it earlier in the meeting talking about me being a leader here. You know, that's kind of run of the mill in the corporate world, right? You may work for somebody one day, they may work for you the next. It's not quite like the military where there's a set structure and rank. I learned, you know, that was one of the hard lessons learned for me coming in the military was you have to treat people with respect. You have to make them successful. It's not about what you want. It's about what they want as well. It's about shared goals and teamwork.
Oh, that's great. All right, Jason, you get the last word.
Oh, cool.
What's your advice to those people out there watching?
I'd say, look at the values of the organization. So Moody's is a values-based organization. That's just not saying that. We actually live it. Coming from the Army, we had a set of values, just like every one of the other branches. Values are important. I mean, that's kind of the cornerstone of whether or not you're going to fit in, or, you know, whether the company is going to be somewhere you want to stay. So I'd say, think about your own values. Think about the company's values that you're applying for. Another like tactical piece of advice I would say is don't knock off the virtual webinars or the virtual hiring fairs, right? So I attended quite a few of them. They helped me learn a lot about the transition process, the hiring process. There's jobs posted there. They are a great place for recruiters to kind of narrow their focus in on what you have to offer, looking at your resume. And then going back to what James and John were saying about networking, like for me, like if I know that a veteran has applied to a job, I'll reach out to that hiring manager or that recruiter and say, hey, so-and-so is a veteran, you know, you might have 10 applicants, but could you make sure that this veteran gets an interview? Like their resume is not going to translate to what, you know, from the military. It's just, that's hard to translate it from military jargon to corporate jargon. So can you just get them an interview? And every hiring manager, every recruiter that I've reached out to and asked that on that veteran's behalf, they've got an interview. They may not have got the job, but they got an interview. And that's where you sell yourself. You know, the questions that are going to be asked of you are probably going to be values based. So look at the values of that organization. Think about how you would respond if you come into conflict with a question regarding one of those values, and just tie it back to the values, right? Whatever your answer is, for whatever the, you know, the question is that they throw at you, just tie it back to your values and you'll be okay. That's all I got.
Well, I want to thank you all for showing up today, listening to our guests. Thank you, Jason, James, and John for giving us your insights and providing us with some good advice. I want to remind everybody that if they want to help ACP, you can recommend a fellow transitioning service member or spouse to get a mentor at ACP. If you're out there in the civilian world for a while, you can sign up to be a mentor. Or if you want to donate to ACP, you can go to our website as well. So thank you, everybody, for attending today, and we appreciate your time. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of ACP's Career Compass podcast.
Tune in every week to hear more stories and conversations from our community.
If you're a service member, a veteran, a military spouse, or if you want to become a mentor, visit our website at acp-usa.org.
And if you'd like to donate to ACP so we may expand our reach to even more veterans and spouses, you can do so at the ACP website.
All links to support ACP will be found in the show notes.
Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for tuning in.